Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got an outstanding show coming up for you, but we want to start out by thanking some of the sponsors that help make the show possible.
Certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, the Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Daphne's Hottest Place for Chow, the waterfront restaurant at Number 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Medicare lady, Ms. Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, of course, we want to thank all our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let those sponsors know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And, of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So always join in the discussion on Facebook for more information and some of the topics that we cover. Coming up later on the show, we'll be joined by Mr. Phil Quigley. He is the Vice President of the Mobile Bay Area Veterans Commission. And who knows, Veterans Day is going to be here before you know it. Got to start thinking in those terms. And of course, Tom's tirade on unmasking the enemy. But first, it's always a pleasure to be joined on SBN by one of our legal eagles from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Winslow Rouse. Winslow, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service to our veterans.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on here. I had a chance to talk to you earlier today, Winslow, and you've got an awesome subject here that we want to bring forth tonight, in that the claims process with the VA now is being a little bit streamlined for our veterans that may have been affected by the 1973 NPRC records fire.
That's right. Yeah. So in 1973, there was a fire that broke out at the National Personnel Records Center, which was in St. Louis, Missouri. And about 16 to 18 million military personnel files were lost in that fire. It was mainly Army veterans who were discharged between 1912 and 1960, as well as Air Force veterans who were discharged between 1947 and 1964, with the names H through Z, the last names of H through Z. So all of their military personnel files were lost during that fire.
Wow, darn. That has presented some problems in the past when they were trying to verify some of their military records and all in getting some VA benefits. Is that not true?
That's right. Right. Because it was their personnel file, not only can the VA no longer prove when they served, where they went, as well as, you know, what medical treatment they got in service. So it's been difficult for all of those veterans trying to file for disability claims because the records just don't exist anymore.
Well, we didn't. You know, I've heard that said, but in that particular sentence, But then I've also heard that there was other records in other places, like payroll records and some, you know, two or three other places. Now, is that a farce, or is that really for real, that there were other records available for you guys?
Yeah, there's other records available, and that's why the VA has always said that if you are one of those veterans that falls into the category of records who are lost, to still file, because there are other records that they can use to help try
that's
to
what
reconstruct
I was thinking.
Their
right.
personnel file.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's still other record sources that you guys had access to and knew where to go get them, right?
Right, right. They can still get some hospital admission records, morning reports, Surgeon General office records, payroll records, like you said. So they are still able to, veterans can still file, as well as statements themselves from the veterans and any documentations that the veterans might have as well.
Well, and, you know, a lot of those guys kept up with each other over the years, and I know that I've seen some occasions where they would get their buddies to make a statement about how a particular incident or accident occurred, so that when they got injured, or when both of them got injured, or et cetera. So, you know, that would still be something that could have been utilized in developing their benefits.
Right, yeah. Buddy statements are always important, especially for those veterans whose files were lost, just to show that, you know, the buddy statement can show where they were, or if the friend remembers something that happened in service, they can write a statement about that.
Okay. I know they had one of my guys. I was in the Corps in 1956 through 59, and one of my buddies got hurt in the motor pool while I was down there, and I saw it. One of the guys knocked the transmission out of gear on a deuce and a half, and it rolled forward and hit him on the hip. But he said that he went to and recorded that and went to, you know, see the corpsman and all on it. But when he had, later on in life, had a problem with that, they wasn't able to find that, so he called me. Well, he was living in Arizona at the time, and I wrote him a statement about it, and he called me back and let me know that by getting that statement, it was exactly the way he had already told them that he was able to get his benefits. So that does work.
It does, yeah. And we see a lot of veterans that initially get denied by the VA because they just simply say that they, you know, they can't find their personnel file, so they can't establish service connection. But then we work to get buddy statements, as well as, you know, some veterans have pictures, anything that we can to submit with their claim.
Man, that is just, but, you know, I know that y'all haven't given up the fight over the, you know, 17, 18 years that we've been working with Gardberg. I've had very few people I've heard that say that they couldn't find any records, because y'all were always able to come up with something on that.
Mm-hmm. Right, and now the VA is trying to make that process a little bit easier for those veterans, because they already face an uphill battle through no fault of their own. So they're trying to streamline the process. Previously, the VA would send the veteran multiple forms over and over and over again asking for the same information. So it was very overwhelming for the veterans to fill it out and then to keep filling it out. So they're trying to send one packet where the veteran only has to fill out the information one time, and then it can be used for any future claim.
Well, you know, Winslow, and I know that a lot of our veterans, a lot of our older guys, didn't have a familiarity with a lot of, especially with computers and doing all this writing and everything, because a lot of the guys weren't able to complete their education before they got drafted into the service, or went in to volunteer to go in service during those periods of time. So they get frustrated with all of that paperwork and all. So that's one of the reasons that we here on the Scuttlebutt Network have always advised them to get with, Gardberg and Kimberly, or a law firm that specifies and is proficient in that, and that they can take care of all those forms and all, because there's been a lot of good cases that where the vets should have been paid, but they dropped them because they weren't familiar with the paperwork and didn't know how to handle it.
Right, and especially when it's several different forms that the veterans have to fill out. They don't know if they already have, if the VA asks for it multiple times, you know, they think they already have, so they don't fill it out again, and then their claims are denied. So it's definitely, it was an overwhelming process for the veterans, and they're trying, the VA is trying to make it a little bit easier on them, as well as just the amount of paperwork that the VA is sending to those veterans. It was delaying their claims quite a bit.
Oh, it would, and it would, and those guys would miss their deadlines on getting it back and all, so it was really just a real cluster, as we call it, in service. And the guys would get mad and drop it, you know, and in turn they didn't get their benefits that they were entitled to.
Right. And, 16 to 18 million veterans personnel files were lost. So it's a good amount of veterans that felt they weren't able to file because of it.
Okay. Well, when we come back, we'll talk about the VA benefit claims. The backlog has gotten in better shape than what it's been in the past. And as always, you can visit scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of our break, we'll give more with Ms. Winslow Rouse from Guardburg and Kimberly.
Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret.
This is the end.
I've been a soldier since I was 19, and I still haven't learned how to wait for it. I wanted a mission for my sins. They gave me one.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And if you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired shows are up via podcast on the FM Talk 106.5 app and website. And Tom's Tirade's up on CastBox.fm. And again, we're joined on SBN by attorney Winslow Rouse from the law firm of Guardburg and Kimberly. Winslow, thank you again for joining us.
Hi, thanks. It's good to be here.
Winslow, it's you have another exciting topic that we want to bring forth here tonight, and then that is that the benefit claims backlog drops below 70,000. What the heck's going on there? Isn't that a blessing or not?
No, it is. Yeah, it has. The backlog has dropped below 70,000 for the first time since 2020. So the VA considers a backlog claim to be any claim that's been pending for more than 125 days. So to get that below 70,000 is a big deal for the VA.
It sure is. I mean, I know some guys that had claims in for 6, 7, 8, 9 years.
Right.
Back
yeah,
in
and
the
just
day.
For reference, 2023, the backlog was about 400,000. So to get it below 70,000, it's quite a big difference.
Well, how do you see that happening? What do you think occurred with the VA? What are you, as attorney group, how do y'all feel about that? What happened?
I think it was the VA hired a bunch of people to help process claims. A lot of the reason for the backlog was the passing of the PACT Act in 2022, which allowed thousands upon thousands of veterans to get benefits that previously weren't eligible, you know, Vietnam veterans that were exposed to Agent Orange, Gulf War veterans, post-9/11 veterans exposed to burn pits. So the PACT Act opened the door and, you know, it resulted in a gigantic backlog with the VA. So I think they're finally working through those claims, as well as the VA hiring additional people helped.
And that's great. But my next question is, do you think that they cut down the pending claims with the amount of other claims that they had denied or sent back for additional information? I mean, would those be included in that 70,000?
Yes, it should be. Because right now only they say about 11% of claims are being backlogged, are considered to be backlogged. So, yeah, it cut down on the pending claims as well as the appeal, the ones that were, you know, that the veterans had filed appeals on.
Well, did the PACT Act, as you said, opened a lot of guaranteed payments there for our veterans, but did that help with cutting down on The claims that were denied and or had to have some kind of ungodly additional information that they weren't able to develop?
It did, yeah, especially for, the Gulf War veterans that were exposed to the burn pits, you know, all of the different kinds of cancer, prostate cancer, breast cancer, lung cancer, all of those that had previously been denied, the veteran back then would have to prove themselves that it was caused by burn pits. But with the passing of the PACT Act, the VA has now said that we know that the veterans breathing all of that stuff caused these cancers, and now they're presumptively service-connected.
Well, you know, I don't think America in general was aware of exactly what was happening during that period of time. I know the colonel that's retired here with us now in the Army, he might, you may have some knowledge of that. But I know that we in service had never been exposed to putting in all these computers and all this new types of products, of plastics, and everything that we were utilizing then, and we were throwing them in the burn pit. So they had turned, they were emitting some very toxic particles that no service or no period of time had we been exposed to that. So,
right, yeah, and it's not even just limited to cancers. I mean, it was IBS, sinusitis, allergic rhinitis,
right.
Asthma, COPD, all of those kinds of conditions as well were included in the PACT Act, as well as for the Agent Orange veterans, they added hypertension, which was a big deal for Vietnam veterans. There was, probably millions of Vietnam veterans that were now eligible to claim hypertension that weren't before.
And we lost so many of those veterans to Agent Orange and those hypertension and other items of that caused harm to our veterans from the Vietnam War. But, they died without any of the benefits or their families with any benefits.
Right. Yeah, and the thing about hypertension is that it led to veterans being able to claim a bunch of different heart conditions. So stroke, stuff like that kind of was downstream from the hypertension, but it opened up a big world of claims, and so that's why the VA got so far behind.
Well, I've seen some current information on the internet lately about veterans and the veterans' percentages of claims and all. And I'm hearing things like migraines. I'm hearing sciatica, and I'm hearing, back injuries, things that we wouldn't normally consider being from, being in service and being in combat.
Right. Yeah. Because lots of those claims. But you got to think for the back injuries, as far as the wear and tear that veterans had to do on an average day, just lifting heavy equipment. The stress that it puts on the veteran's joints, as well as, migraines can be secondary to PTSD. It can be from high blood pressure. There's a bunch of different avenues that veterans can get service connected for conditions like that.
And has these areas just opened up in the last few years, or were they actually there and they weren't investigated?
I think they were there and they just weren't investigated, definitely underutilized, as well as, being able to look up different medical literature and submit that with veterans claims has helped a lot versus just, the VA just taking it at face value and denying veterans for migraine secondary to PTSD or, back injuries because they were a paratrooper or something like that. It's definitely... it's a different world with all the medical literature.
Well, I run into an occasion, and this is not something we had talked about, but I'm going to throw it out there, and that's for your information later on. When I was at Camp Lejeune in the 50s, I was there for my whole three-year tour because I was in an atomic warhead outfit, and thank God they didn't need us in Vietnam in that area during that period of time. But I was exposed to all of the chemicals and everything that was there in that Camp Lejeune claim, which is not something you guys are working on. It's in, I think, the Navy has been assigned all of that, and the cases are actually closed. But where I'm going with it is, I've had like 20 or 25 little skin cancers cut off of my arms and hands. And I asked the doctor about it, and they said, well, aren't you a Marine? I said, yes. He said, were you at Camp Lejeune? I said, yes. He said, well, there's been some investigation about the veterans that were there during that period of time and all of the chemicals and stuff that they were exposed to from that contamination and contaminated water there. And they feel like maybe somewhere down the road, I said, well, the Camp Lejeune claims have been closed, you know, as far as that goes. But I'm just wondering if you have run into any of those kind of areas where they'd be, you know, exposed to a contaminant and may do something to harm a veteran.
Yeah, and that was another thing that with the PACT Act is not only did it make certain conditions presumptive, but now the VA is required to essentially do an analysis of any kind of toxic exposure that the veteran might have been, you know, exposed to during their service. So if it's asbestos, if it's the firefighting foam, or if it's fuel, so anything like that, the VA now has to analyze whether that toxic exposure potentially caused any of these other issues like skin cancer.
Right. Well, I'm even hearing things like jet fuel, you know,
jet fuel.
Right. Is a big contaminant and caused a lot of respiratory situations for our veterans, you know.
So right.
It's unbelievable all the things that we're confronted with out there that, and you know, a lot of them don't get paid for and whatever. But we sign that line. We just take what we can get and go on. But thank God for organizations like Gardberg and Kimberly and other law firms that they protect our veterans and guys like myself, so that we do get a fair shake at it. Thank you for all you do, lady.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, and even if it's conditions that, you know, that's not presumptive, the veterans can still file for it, and then we will help them submit, you know, evidence to support their claim. So there's a lot of options out there that's not, okay. Even if it wasn't specifically named, they can still file.
How can they get in touch with you?
Our phone number is 251-343-1111, or they can go to our website, which is GardbergLaw.com.
All right. Thank you so much for being on board with us tonight. You're very knowledgeable, and we appreciate your intake with working with our veterans. Thank you so much, Ms. Lowe.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. And for more information, you can always go to the other side, and we'll be back with Colonel Phil Quigley.
Check your bunker break off, check your trim set, check your nose steering arm maneuver, dive and burn and go, a low transition, right turn out, 83, dive and out there on 16, let's run them up.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, and we are glad that you have joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
I really want to thank the fine folks that helped make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, our sea lawyer, Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly. We just had one of those sea lawyers on board with us here tonight. And Ms. Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady, Daphne's hottest eatery at the coolest location, the waterfront restaurant at number 1 Yacht Club Drive, and the Charlie Wilson Agency, as well as Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And it's always an honor to be joined on SBN by veteran Phil Quigley from Down Under, with the Mobile Bay Area Veterans Commission. Phil, welcome back to SVN, and thank you for your service.
You're welcome. It's always great to be here, and I always get that joke, Tom. Yeah, down under.
Down under, yeah.
Do I look like Tom Selleck?
Australian guy here.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'm going to have to call you Colonel. You've earned it, so.
Yeah.
But the Purple Heart event that we had in Dak, unbelievable.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Tom. And
about giving us a rundown.
Give a rundown, and thank you for being there and doing what you always do, and the help you always give. But yeah, it was great. 7 August was whatever you want to say is Purple Heart Day. So we really wanted to have it on that day. Two great speakers. One of them, the longest tenured chancellor and our Patriot of the Year for 2025, Chancellor Jack Hawkins, two-time Purple Heart recipient and Marine. And you taught me not former.
No,
Marine.
I'll raise Marine.
That Army guy got it right this time. Yeah. But anyway, he always does a great job. And also, what worked out great, too, the state commander for the Military Order of Purple Heart out of Gulf Shores, Delgadio, Dr. Andrew Delgadio, got promoted 3 weeks before the event to senior vice commander, brought him in from other states, probably, I don't know, Tom, what would you say, 50, 60 recipients?
Right, at least that many.
How about the crowd? How many do you think showed up? 700?
I think we had 700 or 800 people.
Okay, 700, 800. But you know what really topped it off, Tom, too? Not only honoring these recipients, I know everybody that watched the news, Joseph Chancery from Bruton, Alabama, that came up missing in 1950 at the beginning of, he was KIA and MIA, and he came up, I guess, what been missing since 1950, the beginning
right,
of
right.
the 76 years, March 2026.
Chosen Reservoir Army.
Yes, Chosen Reservoir. And they've identified him finally in March 26 of this past year. And 76 years later, didn't have the DNA back then, didn't
right,
have the
forensics.
Had the Patriot Riders meet, flew in Thursday night before the Friday night event. The military escort, obviously, Patriot Riders and the troopers met over with the family in Pensacola, brought them back, the remains back to Mobile, to the funeral home. We were there. But here was the awesome thing. He was one of 12. And obviously 20 years old, was not married, no kids, but his there was 20 of his family members at the event.
Yes.
And what an honor. I got to read the citation, and retired Air Force Colonel and President of the Commission, Steve Carey, presented the Purple Heart to the family.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Well, it was neat that we could follow through and help with that family, because the managing partner at Gardberg and Kimberly, Miss Christine Chancery there, it was her uncle, I believe it was. It was her uncle.
What a family, and she's awesome.
And we were able to go up to Tibby?
Mm-hmm.
Was it?
Yes, for the funeral the next day
on
Saturday.
Golly, 300-400 people up there. Unbelievable. They had flags on the telephone poles.
Love it.
Going into the cemetery back, you wouldn't think country people would do that, but that just shows you the respect that the country people have.
No, and they do. I mean, because if you think about it, too, 22 September, we're going to be up for the, I'm also with the council like you, the South Alabama Veterans Council, and we're going to have a meeting up there in Chatham.
Yes, yes.
And think about, I didn't realize you think about, there's so many veterans there.
Sure,
the mayor called, wanted us there, but you make a good point. You look at Audie Murphy. Young kid from a little town in Texas or out in the country.
Right.
Most decorated soldier. But it's just an amazing night, and we're just proud to do that. Daphne Mayer and all the Daphne, the JRTC from Daphne High School did an amazing job. They were the color guard. Flag folding from the Boy Scouts.
Right, and the Boy Scouts did a beautiful job on the flag folding ceremony and all. And then the Boy Scouts and the Junior ROTC also escorted our Purple Heart recipients into the stage to where they were sitting at. So that's just unbelievable.
And, that's something that we talked about before on the show, Tom. We're wanting the youth to know veterans, understand the veterans, hear their stories, from all of the, different conflicts that each and every one of us has been in, and the especially the Purple Heart recipients. So,
I'll give you just a little example of something that popped up. We were talking about the Army gentleman that veteran that got killed over there in 50.
Yeah.
It was at Chosin Reservoir, and and our Marine veteran was there. That he was at Chosin Reservoir.
Right.
Well, the Army was on one side of the reservoir, and the Marines were on the other. And he says, "Tom, you said you know why it took so long for them to identify those guys?" I said, "I have no idea." He said, "After the Chinese come in there and overran them, he said they shot them and killed them. And then he started stacking them in the back of trucks, and they set them on fire, Bill."
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, and then like this gentleman that was just, or, good, what a gracious veteran, they only had a portion of one arm that they were able to identify and get the DNA from. So the rest of it, you know.
So that's amazing. Yeah. You know, you look at the years that it's taken, and amazing how, like you said, to identify a arm, bone of an arm. Or, you know, a lot of people didn't realize that, too. In 1956, they had Operation Glory, where we did the exchange of the remains to with North Korea and, as you said, the Chinese volunteer forces. And they put them over in, I think it was like 843 that we had. And it's in Honolulu, called the Punch Bowl.
The Punch Bowl,
And so it's 76 years later.
From there, and with our new innovations in our forensics, they are able to identify and and identify more of these. Okay, it's that kind of messes me up.
No, I get
it. But we have another exciting event.
Yes,
it's getting cranked up. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I'm also thanks to Steve Carey. I belong to I Got Your Six Gulf Coast. And we're having a – and what we do is, you know, what we represent is suicide prevention. And, Tom, you know –
It's over 20 a day.
We've had more die from suicide. Let me just put it this way. 9/11, there's been about 10,000 from, you know, the conflicts and what took place 9/11. 200,000.
There's been over 200,000 committed suicide since 9/11.
So, yes. And so what we have going on is a 5 miles called Miles for Hero 5K. And I also have, like, for those that want to do the 5K, we have a 1 mile fun run. All the proceeds, it's downtown. Let me say this first. It's downtown Daphne, Old Town Daphne. Live music, food trucks, a lot of fun. All the proceeds go to suicide prevention and mental health awareness. It's going to be great. A lot of participation. Cost is $35 for adults to get in the run, $28 for 15 and under. We got a lot of military coming,
too. Sure we do.
And veterans. And
a lot of in the service, we call them ruck runs.
Right.
And there'll be a lot of those,
yes.
Different branches of services come in and participate in that.
And you can go online, go under I Got Your Six Gulf Coast, go online. You can sign up online. And we really want, everyone to participate.
Do you have some sponsors that are already signed up for working with you on that, or are you looking for?
We've got several. I'll be able to give you more when we get towards the
event. And what is this date?
26 September, 8 o'clock, Old Town Daphne.
Okay, 26. All right. Well, I tell you, it's a blessing to have you. You got a sidekick here. Who you got here?
I got to say this, Tyler Bowles, and I got to tell you about Tyler. He's a lot of relatives have been in the military, but I want to let Tyler say, hey, he's always helped me at every event. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going?
Do you know this guy right here sitting next to you?
Of course I do. That's my man, Tom Claxton.
what can you guys say to this guy? Go ahead, Tom.
Well, you know, what I'd like to say is thank you for all the work that he does when he's working with us on all the veterans events and everything. That when we see you, we see Tyler, and we know that things are getting done, things taken care of.
You know, I do this for the military, and I love my country, and I just love my veterans.
Amen, brother.
They need more support out there, and some people don't realize they go through a lot, and they need the extra help, and that's what we're here to do.
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate what you do.
You're welcome.
Yes, sir. And on the other side of the break, my tirade on unmasking the enemy when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Here they come, zooming to me, the thunder. Adam boys, give her the gun. Now he dies, coming of flame.
Necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Last week, we commemorated the 81st anniversary of the D-Day landings. On that fateful day, the Allied armies landed on the beaches of Normandy in what would become the beginning of the end of the horror that was Hitler's Germany and the Third Reich. The sea landing started at 6:30 a.m., just after dawn, targeting five beaches whose names have become synonymous with heroism: Utah, Omaha, Gold, Juneau, and Sword. There were also earlier operations behind the German front, including paratrooper and glider landings on strategic German sites such as the Pegasus Bridge and the U.S. Army Rangers scaling cliffs at Point du Hoc to take out strategic German gun positions. Around 11,000 Allied aircraft, 7,000 ships and boats, and thousands of other vehicles were involved. Nearly 160,000 Allied troops landed in Normandy on June 6, 1944. Of these, 73,000 were from the United States and 83,000 were from Britain and Canada. Forces from several other countries were also involved, including French troops fighting with General Charles de Gaulle. While there have been many attempts to depict the events of that day, including the epic 1962 film, The Longest Day, which boasted the Duke, John Wayne, and his cast, probably the best known and most accurate depiction of the landing and ensuing battles is Steven Spielberg's Saving Private Ryan, starring Tom Hanks. I recently had the good fortune of stumbling upon the 2023 British film, The Last Rifleman, starring the erstwhile 007 Pierce Brosnan. It follows Brosnan as Artie Crawford, a Northern Irish World War II veteran who, on the 76th anniversary of the D-Day landings in Normandy, decides to secretly escape his nursing home and embarks on an arduous but inspirational journey from Northern Ireland to France to pay his final respects to his best friend and find the courage to face the ghost of his past. The film is loosely based on the true story of British D-Day veteran Bernard Jordan. I highly recommend that you catch this film, as the heartfelt story reminds us of the dwindling numbers of the greatest generation left with us. It focuses less on the horrors of war and more on the scarring effects that combat left on those who survived. Brosnan's character has quite the adventure finding his way across the channel that he once traversed as a young Irishman, including smuggling himself out of England and into France because, at age 92, his passport had expired. Ironic, because if he was an illegal, he could just walk right in and get a free phone. In a saga straight out of
Bueller. 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 Bueller.
Artie's escape transforms him into something of a folk hero, a role which he is reluctant to embrace. Artie embodies the thousands of young men who cross borders and enemy lines to fight and defeat Hitler's National Socialist Party, the fascism of Italy's Mussolini, and the radical Shinto ultra-nationalism of Imperial Japan, saving the West's ideals of liberty, freedom, and capitalism. Unfortunately, as the numbers of greater generation among us dwindle, we are seeing the rise of socialism, fascism, and indeed, communism, right here in our own country, all under the guise of, quote, saving our democracy. Of course, the statement in itself is a falsehood, as the United States is not and was never intended to be a democracy. We are a constitutional republic and were intentionally constructed as such by our founding fathers, who were all too familiar with the dangers of a true democracy. However, this has become a rallying cry for those cowards who hide behind masks while attacking our institutions and indeed the country itself. They roam freely, spewing their hatred of life, liberty, and property, rarely facing consequences for their words and actions. We witnessed this during the Summer of Love, in the wake of the overdose death of the criminal St. George Floyd, when unruly mobs hid behind masks as they destroyed personal property and attacked and killed innocent civilians and police officers throughout our nation. I fear that we are on the verge of yet another love fest, as those thugs are once again freely roaming the streets of Democratic-run coastal cities, attacking law enforcement and attempting to remove criminal illegal aliens from our nation. Those who participate in these criminal attacks on our law enforcement should be unmasked, arrested, and prosecuted at the federal level with no less fervor than the January 6 protesters who peacefully walked sans masks throughout the Capitol. but this is only the beginning. The most dangerous of these enemies roam the halls of government, not only inside the Beltway, but also at the state and local levels. And while they walk freely, claiming to be the last best armed, standing against tyranny, they wear masks in the words that they use to hide their true intentions. They cry democracy, but what they truly mean is mob rule. The same mob that creates anarchy, destruction, and death in our streets. Their words belie their desire for in the wake of the 2024 election and the overwhelming return of MAGA, they realize that their grip on our nation and their desire to control every aspect of your life is in tremendous jeopardy. That is why they encourage the violence and destruction of their masked communist minions in the streets.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
The people are going to turn on them. They're going to protest. They're going to absolutely harass them until they decide that they're going to tell the president, no, I can't hang with you.
We are going to fight it. Legislatively, we are going to fight it in the courts. We're going to fight it in the streets.
However, the MAGA movement is not made up of phonies like Jazz Hands, Stolen Valor, Tampon Tim, or the bearded Rear Admiral Pete Buttigieg. MAGA men and women are not afraid to stand behind and in front, if necessary, of our president and those who are working hard to take back our country. They love this country, and they know that there is a struggle ahead. Just as Artie and his comrades on D-Day knew the face of their enemy, we know that Jeffries, AOC, E. coli Schumer, and their ilk truly hate this country and its freedoms. Jeffrey has said as much in his latest diatribe against the brave men and women of our federal agencies working hard to remove criminal illegal aliens who have found it necessary to wear face coverings while working in order to keep their identities secret.
Every single ICE agent who's engaged in this aggressive overreach and are trying to hide their identities from the American people will be unsuccessful in doing that. This is America. This is not the Soviet Union. We're not behind the Iron Curtain. This is not the 1930s. And every single one of them, no matter what it takes, no matter how long it takes, will of course be identified. That in fact is the law.
These are the same people who wanted to force every American to wear a mask during this scamdemic and who are perfectly fine with leftist criminals covering their faces with masks while trying to protect their identities from law enforcement. Whether it's a anti-Semitic mob on our college campus or violent mobs in our streets attacking law enforcement officers, these communist progressive politicians should be called to account and investigated for inciting the violence that is coming as President Trump attempts to fulfill his campaign promise of ridding America of the dangerous criminal illegal aliens that are in our country. Make no mistake, if your first act is to enter our country illegally or under false pretenses, then you are a criminal and should be forcefully removed if necessary. If you obstruct law enforcement as they attempt to carry out their lawful duties, then you should be prosecuted. If you are a lawful citizen of this country, then you should face the harshest punishment under our laws. If you are not, then you should be deported. Anyone assaulting law enforcement in their duties should be unmasked and face maximum punishment for their actions. Our lawmakers should immediately pass laws that expedite this process so that scum like the Maryland human trafficking man's stateside sentence is suspended and he is immediately returned to the prison in his home country. We don't need to waste taxpayer money housing this piece of flotsam. I know this may sound like a harsh punishment, but I don't give a damn. It is past time we unmask those domestic enemies and realize that the new D-Day is here and now and within our borders. Failure to do so is to allow the lamp of freedom for which Artie and every brave soldier storming the beaches of Normandy and beyond to be extinguished. as they say, not under my watch. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Have I mentioned I'm pissed off lately?
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Hold up, sir!
Hold up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and streaming on the scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. A couple of Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, great tirade there, Tom. But, you know, I think we would be remiss if we did not mention that this is the five-year anniversary of the Abbey Gate debacle under Sleepy Joe Biden, where we lost 13 of our service members unnecessarily. And so we do remember them and their families, and hope that we never have to face anything like that again. But that is going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed the show. Hopefully you'll join us again soon. Until then, please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those that are in harm's way. God be with them and their families. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!